Right on. This is a good time. Thanks for letting me hang out. If I haven't met you before, my name is Aiden, one of the pastors here, and we are glad that you guys are here. Let me open up this iPad. Use my fingerprint to open it up, because it's 2026. Hey, if I haven't met you, I'm one of the pastors here at the campus. I'm actually Ethan's boss. So if you have any complaints, you can come to me. Just email me and we'll get it dealt with real fast. All right. But I'm glad that you guys are here. Thanks for Sam and the team for leading us in just that beautiful song that Christ would be the center. That is our hope tonight. We're going to talk for a couple minutes and then hopefully over the next couple weeks, we'll just have some practical conversations for y'all. I know today some of you are seniors that are moved up. It's kind of the first week hanging out. Some of you might be just new faces here tonight in general. And so we are so glad that you guys are with us. We are in starting just a 3-week series called Shifting Circles. You guys are at an interesting age. You hit kind of this post-high school, pre-30s age, you're in your 20s, and just so many things are changing, right? Like all the familiar things are changing. I was all over the place when I talk to young adults all the time. I'm like, you have your stuff together way more than I did. This age, there's so many things changing. Romantic relationships are changing because now it goes from like we're hanging out in high school to like we could get married, right? Like all the weight of those things is different. Our understanding of God is different. For some of you, if you grew up with faith at all, maybe inherited some of that and you hit this phase and it starts to become your own in a lot of ways, those things change. The way we relate to our families change. And for the sake of tonight, we're going to have a practical conversation for the next 20 minutes. And then Ethan and I, if there's any questions that we can just kind of help kind of respond to. But the hope tonight is to look at just our friendships, the circle of friends that we find ourselves in, who we surround ourselves with, and how they change and why they matter and the effect that they can have on us. And so we're going to throw a phone number up here on the screen. Think, ready? There we go. Look at that. There you go. So as I was talking, I called Ethan today. I'm like, man, as we talk about friendships, there's, I don't know, 60 of you in here, and there's 60 different contexts of friendships that we're in, right? And so what might be true for you is completely untrue for someone else in the stage of life that we're in right now. And so as we jump into this, if there's anything that just comes to your mind that we can kind of have a conversation on, text it into that. And maybe if we have a couple of those, we can talk about those at the end. I have a 5-year-old. He's little and he's chunky and he doesn't say his aws, and it's really fun. And we were at the park and we were hanging out at the park and he was playing with the kid. Kids are just like, if you want to play a monkey bars, I'll play with you. You know, I don't care anything about your life. We'll just be friends. And he was playing on the slides and stuff with some kid for like an hour. And we were walking back to the car. We were almost in the car and he stopped. He's like, hold on. I forgot to ask if they would be my friend. And he just took back off for the playground, right? And we don't ask that anymore. But I heard a quote by a guy. It says this, friendship, we think about friendship. It isn't, will you be my friend? Right? Like nobody, like the last time you asked, will you be my friend? You're probably Colby's age. You're probably 5. But the way that we actually relate to one another oftentimes in our friendships is, oh, you too. Oh, you like that game too. Oh, you hate that team as well. Oh, you've been through that before. Oh, you've experienced that. Oh, you're from that place. There's kind of this, oh, you as well. I'm not alone in this, right? Is oftentimes how we come to kind of build fidelity with other people. There was a research study done by an organization called Pew a couple of years ago, and they were just looking at all aspects of friendship. And they found some things. They said this, according to Pew, 61% of adults, let's just assume that this is the room tonight, 61% of adults in the U.S. Say that having close friendships is essential to living a fulfilling life. Like having close friends, 61% said is essential. That was more than marriage, more than children, more than money. Like having close relationships is essential. It said a slim majority of adults, 53%, said they have between 1 and 4 friends. 1 in 4 friends. 38% said they have 5 or more friends. It said this, about 8% said they have no close friends. And we can all kind of weave into different seasons of that where we may feel like part of that 8%. And that 8%, it doesn't sound like a huge amount, but it adds up to what experts would say is a epidemic of loneliness for some Americans. And maybe you've experienced that before, right? And maybe it's at different seasons where you're like, I just feel lonely. Maybe you have some friendships, but you still have an aching sense of loneliness because maybe you hang out, you laugh about stuff, but you don't really feel known, right? And so as we just kind of have a conversation tonight, some of you in the room, you're here tonight and you just feel lonely. You just feel lonely. You might hang out with some people. You might have some relationships, but there's just a deep loneliness within you. Others of you in the room, you're like, hey, I feel like I have some great friends. And you feel like your friendships are flourishing, right? Some of you may be in transition. Maybe it's between high school and college. Maybe it's from out of the area into the great metropolis of the Norton area or all kinds of different places that you can be kind of in transition with friendships. For some of you, you may be struggling with friendships, right? Like the people that you thought you trusted, you don't trust as much. And the people that you thought were going to be close weren't quite as close. And the people that you hoped to be friends with aren't really quite as much of friends as you thought they were going to be. And you might be in a season of struggling with friendships. And for some of you, the friendships that you're close with, you invited someone into a close place in your life where they're close and they have influence in your life and you have intimacy with them. But you're like, they shouldn't be this close. Like they're not steering me the way that I want to go, right? They're causing more pain, but they're close to me, right? And we may be all across the spectrum tonight. So as we talk about friendships, there's not necessarily, if you go to 1 Paul 9:15 and it's like, here's how to be a friend. That's not necessarily what we see in the scriptures. As you look at friendship in the Bible, it's a lot less like an organ, a lot more like a bloodstream. We're in and through all of the scriptures. We see the reality of friendships. We see stories of friendships. In the Old Testament, David, you met King David, Psalm 23, David and Goliath. Maybe you heard that story at some point. David had a friend named Jonathan, and they were like best friends. Like we see like some close friendships in David and Jonathan. You think about Jesus and his disciples. Jesus came, he had 12 friends. Some would say that the greatest miracle Jesus ever did was had 12 friends in his 30s. Right? Like there, he is that. Thank you. I can always count on Maisie laughing at my jokes. If you don't laugh at him, I don't need it. As long as Maisie's laughing at my jokes. But Jesus had his ministry in the context of close friendships, the close relationships. He had 12 friends. Paul and all the letters to the churches in the New Testament always end. And Paul has a whole list of names of people that he loves, of people that he cares about people that he can't wait to see again. We see stories of friendship. In the scriptures, we see the wisdom of friendship. In the book of Proverbs specifically, there's so many Proverbs that have almost Proverbs is like this collection of biblical tweets. Do you still call them tweets? X's? I don't know. That's weird. It's not X's, I'll tell you that. But it's all these kind of quick, kind of pithy pictures of friendship and of wisdom. And so much of it, our conversation tonight isn't here's how to behave and here's how to be a friend. But so much of friendship is wisdom. We have so much information. We have so much information. Like my kids are going to grow up with ChatGPT. Like they're not going to need to know anything, right? But we have such a lack of wisdom, right? Like in our experience as human beings, like ChatGPT can't give us wisdom on the complexities of life. And so much of friendship is wisdom. What we see in the book of Proverbs is wisdom given to us. And then this, and we'll jump in. The story of the Bible, the story of the gospel is a story of friendship. In the garden, God created mankind for friendship. God didn't create us just to follow arbitrary rules. He didn't create us just because he needed something to be in charge of, but he created us for friendship. And in Genesis 3, we see that there was this rebellion that we decided to become enemies of God. And the story of the Bible is the story of God pursuing us that we might have friendship with God again. And that's not just a pithy, cute idea. That's what the story of the gospel is that God has invited us into friendship. And so my hope tonight is just give a couple tangible things. And then if we have any questions, just to kind of dialogue, we can text in. All right. If you're taking notes or if you just store it up there in the old thinker, my hope is that some of this is just practical. But the first thing is this, is that we are formed by our friendships. We are formed by our friendships. In high school, I was a freshman and I had a couple buddies. And there was this group of dudes I was a freshman, they were juniors. And I thought they were the coolest guys. I thought they, like the music taste they had was cool. Everybody liked them. They were like my kind of people. I'm like, I wish I could get in that group. I wish I could sneak in that group somehow. And somehow I had a friend who dated one of those guys. We became friends with them. And I'm still friends with these same guys today. And this is not an overstatement. This is, as a guy with kids, this is my biggest prayer for my boys and my daughter is that they would have friends that shape who they are because we are formed by our friendships. I would say a solid 75% of who I am today. Some of you are like, I don't know about that. 75% of who I am, I would attribute to the people I'm friends with. The people that shaped who I was and who I am. And many of those people are still my closest friends. I remember I started dating my wife like 15 years ago and the friend group that I was in, she's like, you guys are all real weird. She's like, you guys are weird. I thought you all be sketchy. She was at the point where she's like, I think every guy I talk to is sketchy. The Christian ones are sketchy. The non-Christian ones are sketchy. She's like, your friends are sketchy. I'm like, they're not. They're nice people. And she's like, they're unicorns. They're weird, right? That I'm still friends with these guys. They shaped my music taste. They shaped the things that I enjoy. They shaped my sense of humor, for better or for worse. They shaped so much about who I am. I'm still friends with many of them. There's one author that says this. Then you can think about your own life. You are an average of your 5 closest friends. You're an think of like how much money they have, how smart they are, how much they love Jesus. You're probably somewhere in the middle, right? You're like an average of your 5 closest friends. I think that's true. You will become your friends. Proverbs, one of the Proverbs says this. It says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Just think about that. Walk with the wise and become wise, for the companion of fools suffers harm. You will become your friends. There's a guy named C.S. Lewis, an old British author. He said, the next best thing to being wise oneself is to live in a circle of those who are. You could watch. 10 years ago, I started running. And then about 9 years and 9 months ago, I stopped running. So I ran for 3 months 10 years ago. And for the last 10 years, this is no lie, every new year, I'm like, this is going to be the year. This dad's spare tire is going to go in the trash. We're good every year, every year. And then we get to December. I'm like, you know, I kind of like it. We'll keep it. We'll keep the spare tire. And it's every single year. Well, this year, there's some guy, every context I've been in is like, there's a dude who runs way too far, like doing ultra marathons. And so I'm in this group and a guy runs ultra marathons. I'm in this group, a guy runs ultra marathons. I'm in this group, this guy runs normal loser marathons, right? And we were, I've never run a marathon. And so I was with one of these guys and one of them is like, hey, do you want to come running with me? And after 10 years of being like, I'm going to run, I'm going to do it. He's like, you want to come run with me? And we started running and became friends. And now here I am running, right? Like the amount of like YouTubes I could watch about running, that's what you call them, YouTubes. The amount of podcasts I could listen to about running is not going to change me as much as a close relationship. It's like, let's go run, right? The friends you have are going to shape who you are. And so it's worth asking yourself some simple questions. Walk with the wise and become wise. What are the people I surround myself? What are they talking about? The people I surround myself with, what are they doing with their time? The people I surround myself with, what is the focus of their life? The guys or girls I am with, how do they treat the opposite sex? How do they treat the guys, the girls that I'm with? Are they stumbling and seeking Jesus? Because I am going to become the people that I am around, right? And it begs the question, if you're in the room and you're seeking to follow Jesus, to walk with the wise, you might become wise. It's worth asking yourself, who am I surrounding myself with? And you may be like, does that mean I'm supposed to just abandon all my friends that are bad influences and get rid of them? I heard someone kind of give me this picture. I think this is helpful. If you almost think of three circles, that there's like this outer circle of my like acquaintances, the people I may interact with in all kinds of ways. And then there's my companions. There's many people I'm walking through different seasons with. And then there's this kind of inner circle of my closest friendships, right? We are called to have relationships with all kinds of people as followers of Jesus, but it's wisdom that helps me know who am I inviting into the closest parts of my life. Right? Like who is into the most intimate parts of my life? Who knows me and who do I know? Who's checking in on me? Who am I sharing my struggles with? Do they have the same view of Christ? Are they seeking to make much of Jesus? Like, what do I do with those relationships? In 1 Corinthians 15, the apostle Paul actually quotes a Greek poet of the time. Like he's kind of citing some cultural sources. And he says this, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And these all sound like lessons your mom taught you like back in the day. But they're true. They're true. And so it's who am I inviting into the closest parts of my life? Who is speaking into my... I just talked to somebody recently that there's a gentleman who was going this direction in his life. But because of some close relationships, he went totally this way. I was talking to friends of his and it was these close friends that he was inviting into the most intimate part of his life was steering him in a very specific direction. And this calls us to have wisdom. There's no math equation to say, how close should I let this person get? How many Christian friends? What's this whole equation? It's wisdom. It's wisdom. And you can't chat GPT these things, right? It's wisdom. I'm walking with the wise that become wise. How do I love the person in my life who might be leading down a different road than I am? How do I love them? How do I show them Christ? How do I maintain relationship with them, yet not being misled and not going down the road that they're going down in the same way? All right. Second question is this, or the first thing is this, we're formed by friendships. Second thing is this, y'all with me still? Friendships take different forms. I think this is so important because sometimes like my kid on the playground, like, will you be my best friend? And nothing is going to chase a friend farther away from you than you ask him if you'll be my best friend, right? There's an old guy, an old author, an old pastor, and he said there's almost these different mediums to by which our friendships exist, like these mediums that facilitate our relationship, right? There's a guy, I get a Polar Pop every day, and there's a guy who works at the Polar Pop place named Matt. Polar Pop place. That's what we call Circle K, the Polar Pop place. And I see him more than I see my father. You know, I talk to Matt, and we talk to each other, and our friendship, you know, I drove him home once, but our friendship is based around Polar Pops. Like if I'm not buying a pop, there's not a lot in our relationship, right? I go, there's a guy that I talk to and our relationship is built on cereal. We talk about cereal. That's our thing is cereal. I send him pictures of deals at Acme, right? Like these are the things that facilitate our relationship, right? And there's all kinds of different relationships in our lives. For some of us, we have circumstantial friendships and the medium that kind of facilitates our relationship is the circumstances we find ourselves in. We're next door neighbors. We're on the same team. We're taking the same class. We sit next together in class. Maybe we work together. there's nothing wrong with this. I think sometimes we can kind of like, all I need is the most intimate and closest friendships, where I think it's so much more about the network of our friendships. We all have circumstantial friendships, the people we work with, the people that we live next to, the people that we play on a team together with. You can have deep friendships rooted in your circumstances. Like, you think about some dudes in World War II that are like, we're about to jump out this plane. They're only friends because they're about to jump out that plane. But they're sharing something real, real intimate together, right? Life or death. And you know this to be true. You might have friends this way. That it was some circumstance that brought you together, but the circumstance like welded you real close. Sometimes we have circumstantial friendships. For some of us, it's seasonal friends. And the medium that kind of is what our relationships play with is the stage or the season of life. Maybe you're both walking through the same hardship. Maybe you're a couple dudes and you're friends with this other guy because your girls are best friends. And so the girls want to hang out and you're like, sup, dude? Sup, dude? And you guys kind of become friends a little bit, you know? And as long as they're friends, you're friends. But when you break up, you're like, we're not friends anymore, right? Like that? Okay. You all know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you might feel a little weird, and I don't know who you are because that's you right now. But sometimes that's the season, right? Or you went to college with some friends, or you were in high school with some friends. And there was important aspects of it. I think one of the biggest aspects of our relationships, of our friendships, and our seeking of friendships, our development of friendships, is proximity. We don't talk about proximity. The people that we are actually around, the people that we are actually spending our time with in a season of life. And the third thing is this, that our friendships take different forms. Is sometimes what I think we all seek, and we're blessed when we have it, and you can't force it, is lifelong friendship. Friends that throughout those different circumstances, throughout those different seasons, that the medium that we share is our actual lives. These almost relationships that you don't really get anything out of it other than the actual relationship that's there. Maybe you have history or values or trust or relatability. Like one of my closest friends, he lives in Denver, and it's the only person I ever do anything cool with. And so I usually tell stories about him. We have nothing in common. Not a thing in common. Nothing in common. But we have such a close friendship. We've been friends for so long. And there's almost, we disagree about things, and there's things that we might see differently on, but we have this close friendship because there's just something to history. And some of you have experienced that. And I say all these things for this sake, that we all, when we think of friendship, we desire friendship. We're like, I want that one, the long one. Where is it? And that's not always a situation that's in front of us. But that doesn't mean that the circumstantial friendships or the seasonal friendships don't have so much value and don't have opportunities that God has placed us in the context of to teach us and to form us and to shape us to understand him, right? And I would say in all of these relationships that we are called to foster them in certain ways. So I just want to give us a couple quick things. I want to encourage you. If there's something practical, it's this. And these are just a few things. I know there's 60 of us in 60 different circumstances, but what does it look like to foster some of these relationships? I'd encourage you with this. And this is simple, but you got to be the friend that you long to have. You got to be the friend that you long to have. And whether that's like you're looking for a friend, or whether that's you're in a friendship with somebody and they're bugging you, or you're in a friendship with somebody and you're not on the same page and you're like, you know what their problem is? All these things that I've been thinking about. Yet what does it look like for you to posture yourself to be the friend that you wish they were, right? That you have to be the friend that you long to have. Our friendships are not content. Like, we live our lives like algorithms feeding us content of like, this is all the stuff I love. I didn't even know I loved this. You guys know Garrett, who does music. He'll be here in a couple weeks. He texted me a picture of a dude with a beard and a pipe today. He goes, this is who I want to be when I grow up. How did the algorithm know, right? Because our algorithm just tells us who we want to be and what we want, right? But friendships aren't content. Friendships require work. Friendships are in our actual life here, right? Friendships aren't content. So we have to move towards people. We can't just wait to receive something. I'm a pastor, and so I love to sit down and I love to hear other people's stories. If ever we get together, you could talk the whole time and tell me your entire life story. It's what I love to do. But a couple months ago, I got lunch with a guy, and just a dude being guys. And we were talking about stuff, and I was asking him a bunch of questions, asking about his family, asking about his kids, asking about his life. And we were talking, and then at some point he stopped and he was like, so what about you? And he asked me a couple questions. Which, again, if we're hanging out, you don't have to ask me questions. Really, we just want to hear about you. But it kind of caught me off guard because I'm not used to people asking me questions back, because usually I'm doing the question asking. And there's something in all of our friendships, whether you've been friends with somebody for a long time, that there's something about not seeking your own interests, but seeking the interests of others. Even when you're like, oh, we've been friends forever, we're good. What does it look like to be like, hey, how's everything at that job been going? Hey. How are your parents doing? I know we don't talk about it a lot, but how is that? and asking someone else questions, you're like, oh, this isn't just content I'm receiving, but this is a two-way relationship. Be the friend that you long to have. This is so simple. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, God in the flesh, comes and he teaches us how to be human beings. In the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about prayer and he talks about anxiety and he talks about sexuality and he talks about all these different things. And at the end, this is in the book of Matthew, chapters 5-7, is the Sermon on the Mount. And in there, Jesus says, do unto others as you would have them do to you. And that sounds like it's from Bluey or Barney or something. It's not. It's from Jesus Christ, who's teaching us what it looks like to follow him into his kingdom. And he sums up some of these teachings by saying, do unto others as you'd have them do to you. So as we're seeking friendships, we have to be the friend that we long to have. Do unto others, be the friend that you hope that someone would be to you. Super simple. Second thing is this. We got to place our friendships in the proper context. This is a quote from Ethan Taylor this week. We don't have friendship with God, so we put that pressure on our friends. That's what Ethan said. And it's true. We have to put our friendships in the proper context. Sometimes we're looking for just like, I want a friend who's going to be everything, who's going to be always fun and always smart and always down to buy my Taco Bell. And I always want them to be something, right? And when we don't allow each other to be human, we put way too much pressure. This is true in our romantic relationships. Like, they're going to make me happy. They're going to be better than my ex. They're going to make me feel all these things. We put the pressure of God on our relationships, and then we're let down by that, right? And we can do the same thing with our friendships, right? We're like, I want someone who's always going to be there, who's always going to approve of me, who's not going to frustrate me, who's always going to have fun with me, who's always going to agree with me, who's always going to do what I think they should do, right? And we can kind of put this God weight on our friendships. And I think that God puts these relationships in our lives to live out the gospel with one another. That he gives us one another to give and to receive grace, to give and to accept forgiveness, to laugh with and to be laughed at, right? There's something about enjoying the gifts of God with one another. You could sit in here and eat Cane's all by yourself. It's not as fun as eating with a bunch of folks, right? That there's something about God has given us these friendships to relate to his grace together, that we enjoy God's grace together. And we have to put the relationship in the proper context. Your friends will let you down. They will make dumb decisions. They will do things you disagree with. And that doesn't mean that you necessarily have bad friends. It just means that they're human, right? And it takes wisdom to know when do I stick it out? When do I say something? When do I just be a listening ear? When do I just walk alongside of them, right? It takes wisdom and all those things. The third thing is simply this. I would encourage you to stick it out with the good ones. Don't let pettiness or hard season or distance ruin a friendship. There is. It's very easy just to give up on something and to just cancel something or to deem somebody toxic and to give up and all of those things, right? And there's certainly those things, you know, where it's like, hey, I should probably not let that person in the closest part of my life. But there's something to, the gospel gives us this framework to bear with one another, to bear one another's burdens. It's what makes friendship in the context of the gospel different than just a worldly friendship. Like a worldly friendship, or like we like the same things and we kind of, there's this mutual beneficial relationship. And once it's not benefiting me anymore, I'll go find someone who does. But there's a relationship that has a context of the gospel that I want to look at here in a second that just is modeled different, right? It's modeled different, that we endure with one another. We carry one another's burdens. We forgive one another. The third thing is this, for the sake of tonight, that our friendships take different forms. The third thing is this. We were formed for friendship. We were formed for friendship. If the medium between our friends, the thing that we interact with our friends, if it's where we grew up, or maybe it's the teams that we root for, maybe it's the class that we're in, the church that we go to, even the values that we have, that might be the medium by which we relate to people. And the way, the medium in which we relate to God is the way in which he loves us. That is how you relate to God. You don't relate to God. You don't have friendship with God because you kept your act together, because you were religious enough, because you stopped cussing. Like, that's not the way in which you have friendship with God. The medium between which you have friendship with God is because God has made his way to you and God has loved you. And for some of you, you've been in church for too long that doesn't have the same power to anymore. The reason that we're able to have friendship with God is because he first loved us. In John 15, Jesus is with his closest friends. He's with his closest friends, and he is going to go to the cross. And he's kind of given this kind of farewell speech in a lot of ways. And one of the things he says is, abide in me So it says kind of stay rooted in me, find your life in me. In a couple verses after that, he says this, John 15, verse 12. He says, my command is this, love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for their friends. Like, this is Jesus who created all things saying, this is what love is to lay your life down for your friends. And then look what he says in verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. Now, before that sounds like a Jesus being like, you're my friends if you do what I say. That's not what he's saying. Look at verse 15. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. He's not saying, do what I say or else. He's saying, hey, we are friends because you're following my commands, and you are my friends because I've invited you into the why of that. I've invited you into the life of that. I've invited you behind the scenes of that. A servant doesn't know why, but a friend does. He says, instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Jesus gave them this, for 3 years, they walk with Jesus. He's like, this is what it means to live life in my kingdom. This is what it looks like to see other people this way. This is what it looks like to love people. This is what it looks like to pray. This is what it's like to be a human in the world. Jesus kind of taught him the secrets of the kingdom. And he says, if you follow these things that I've revealed to you, have friendship with me. This is what we were formed for. In the Garden of Eden, we were made to have relationship, friendship with God. Our sin has separated us from this, but Jesus, through the cross, has made a way for us to have friendship with God. And that's what God has called us into. And too often in this whole world of faith, in church world and in Christianity world, we get so mixed up that it's about doing certain things or it's about believing certain things. And all of these things are of utmost importance. Please hear me. But the heart of all these things is the friendship that God has invited us into. My wife, Sarah, she was here a couple of weeks ago with y'all talking about lady stuff. And we there's things that, yeah, that's what they were doing. All right, you guys were having a girls talk. Don't laugh at me, all right? But there are things that I do and don't do? Of course, that's why I have a marriage. If you're like, we're married, but do whatever you want, it'd end real fast, right? Like there are guardrails in our marriage. There are vows we took. There's all these things. But the point of our marriage is friendship. Like if we aren't friends, then why are we married? That the point of why you exist is friendship with God. And it becomes the framework to which all the other relationships that we have are built. Or else it's just a good idea. And we so easily can miss this. The scriptures call us to know God. They say this is what eternal life is, John writes. This is what eternal life is to know Christ. Eternal life isn't existing forever. It's not just playing the harp on a cloud forever. It's not just being alive forever. It is knowing Christ. In the scriptures, we see these pictures that Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden. In the Old Testament, there's a guy named Moses who was kind of the leader of God's people. And Moses had such an intimate relationship with God. Moses was like talking God down at one point. God was like, that's it. I'm taking him out. And Moses is like, don't do it. Don't do it. Right? This is like how close Moses and the Lord were. We see these ladies like Mary and Hannah praying these intimate prayers with God. We see the disciples as they walk with Jesus asking all kinds of questions. We see the apostle Paul laboring and striving alongside of God, saying to live is Christ and to die is gain. We see one of the patriarchs in the Old Testament, Jacob, literally wrestling with God. Like that's an intimate relationship. You're wrestling with somebody. Because if you don't have an intimate relationship, you know what you do? You don't care. I don't wrestle with people I don't care about. The relationships that I care about the most, I have the hardest time with. And we see Jacob wrestling with God. We see the apostle John, who refers to himself as the one that Jesus loved, the apostle Jesus loved. We see him reclining on Jesus. He's like, Jesus, come here, dude. This is the level of friendship we see all through the scriptures. This is why we exist, to have friendship with God. And it directly informs all the relationship, all the practical aspects of friendship. Flows directly from the way in which God loves us. All right, I just want to read this. We'll pray. I don't know where Ethan went. There he is. If you got any questions or anything? And this is why, if you have any questions on anything, it's just going to be helpful, right? So much of this is around wisdom, and so we'd love to dialogue on that if that's helpful. But I want to throw this up here on the screen. There's a guy named J.D. Greer, and he said this. Being scared of God's judgment changed my behavior, but embracing the friendship of Jesus changed my heart. As we allow the friendship of Jesus to capture our hearts, that God has died and he has made his way to you. And that's not just a cute picture at Hobby Lobby. That's not just like a positive idea for your mental health. That is the story of the gospel. That in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our questions, we gather every week and center ourselves back on that. That Christ has made his way to us and he has embraced us as his friends. And that's what changes our heart. So hey, I'm going to pray for us and invite Ethan up. And then if we have any questions, it'd be awesome. Lord, I pray that just as we kind of enter this summer, as some of us are coming, as some of us are going, as some of us are graduating, as some of us are starting different jobs and everything in between, Lord, there are relationships that you have placed in our life. There's relationships that might be challenging right now. There's maybe circumstances that we're just not exactly sure what is the right direction to go, Lord. And I pray that you give us wisdom in those things. I pray, Lord, that the story of the gospel would be the framework by which we relate to people, that we would seek to be the friend that you were for us, that we might show up in different ways, Jesus, the way that you show up for us, that you show up in our pain, you show up in the midst of our sin, you show up in the midst of just when we are overjoyed. And so I pray that you would just give us the context for that through the story of the gospel. We love you. We're thankful that you first loved us. It's because of Christ we pray. Amen.